Good morning, everyone. Tom Moulton, your host today. I get to be here every Thursday, and I really appreciate you all listening in. We're one day away, Matt, from the United States birthday. What is it?
That is correct.
249?
Yeah.
We're almost there. Or the big one, the 250. I was very involved in the 1976 birthday. I was in Ohio, and I had a drum and fife corps that was my responsibility to put together for an amusement park called Swordsville Lake in Middletown, Ohio.
Okay.
Now, if you don't know where Middletown, Ohio is, it's right between Dayton and Cincinnati, so I could go to either airport, which was great. of course, back then—
That's the name Middletown.
Flights were $49 to go anywhere in the world, probably, pretty much. But that was a long time ago. But we decided at our amusement park, which was kind of an Americana amusement park, to really celebrate the nation's birthday. And we had a drum and fife corps that marched around all day long and then kind of hang out with everyone. And it was put together by a high school music teacher. So, of course, Matt, what would the number one instrument, musical instrument in a drum and fife corps, what would you think that is?
Drum.
Well, drums
or a
fife.
It's a 50-50 shot. I mean, yeah, I could have been right either. I could have been wrong.
I think you could not have been wrong in what you said. So it was lots of flutes and piccolos and drums and they were in full costume and of course American flags, you know, everywhere, just like we have in the studio right now.
That's right.
We have a beautiful
flag there.
And I don't know, can you get a shot of that? I don't know where your camera
I can't move the cameras
goes over that.
I don't think it picks up any of them, but it's a beautiful flag. It was donated by Charlie Foley, just as a brief aside. It was donated by Charlie Foley. It was a gift, I should say. It was a gift from Charlie Foley, who does flags for the flagless, and his mission in life is if he sees a flagpole that doesn't have a flag on it, he asks the owner and he will help them restring the pole and get a flag up there. So we have flags all over the place, which is
and
great
made
mission.
Made in the USA.
Correct.
That's the most important thing. Well, we're here today and it's going to be a great show because we have the interim CEO of Casino del Sol. I don't know if she does a lot of radio interviews, but we're very fortunate that Courtney, their PR manager, was able to get Amanda. She's going to be on for the 7:15 segment. She's going to talk about the brand new casino that's coming where a former movie theater stood for many, many years. And Matt, you remember that, don't you, on Grant? That movie
saw a
theater?
Lot of films there, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, I think it was one of the, was that the first multiplex movie theater here in Tucson?
I doubt it, because I would think like the Buena Vista in Wilmot was at least a twofer, so, and maybe Park Mall might predate it. But yeah, I think there were six cinemas there. It was a nice facility. It saw a lot of good movies there.
Yeah, I remember seeing one movie when I moved here very early. Early in 1997 or so, but that's a really old land from the Pascayaki Indians were at, and so through some federal legislation, that land returned to the Pascayaki Nation, and lo and behold, many, many years later, the community came together, and so we're going to talk a lot more about that, but this is going to be huge, and Tim, I wanted to say good morning to you as well. Are you there, Timmy?
I'm here.
All right, and Tim's got a special job today. And I think you've completely embraced this, haven't you? You're going to talk about all of the July 3rd and July 4th fireworks that are taking place here in the community.
Yeah, they start off tonight.
Yeah, and yes, absolutely. My friends at FC Tucson and at Casino del Sol, lots of fireworks. Right now, the weather is absolutely beautiful. The earth has been kind of watered down, which is great. So the fire danger is at a minimum right now. And it's always scary around this time of the year, Matt and Tim, because the there's a lot of pressure, of course, obviously, not to start a fire here. We've had, you know, many of those, even in the 20 or so years that I've been here, especially on Mount Lemmon. There wasn't one too long ago on Mount Lemmon, and we're going to talk about that at the 8 o'clock hour when Emily Goff from the Arizona Zipline Adventures will be joining us in the studio. But it just seems like there's more 4th of July fireworks this year than I can recall last year. And, of course, Tim will be telling you about the ones that, you know, God, they come here every year, like the A Mountain. Right. And hopefully they won't set the A Mountain on fire because of the rain. And Tim and I have been to many of these over the years. Tim, of course, you know, being a native, much more native than me, as far as living here for, was it all your life or big part of your life? Or
I was here in 82.
82, okay. Yes.
So, yeah, I also came from Ohio. And may have attended your Middletown theme park event.
Well, you probably did because it was the really Kings Island was, I think, open, and Kings Island was the big theme park there in Cincinnati. But probably some of you don't know this is that. The community was so impressed by our birthday celebration that there was a petition that was signed to rename the park to Americana Amusement Park. So 2 years later, Americana or Le Sorgho Lake, and that was the name of the lake inside the park, became the Americana Amusement Park. And that was my first opportunity to play Uncle Freddy the Bear. Now, you'll have to kind of maybe find that on YouTube or somewhere on who the heck was Uncle Freddy the Bear.
I'll blackmail you with that one.
But Uncle Freddy was a Uncle Sam style costume to go, you know, to represent the Americana Amusement Park. And he was seen throughout the day when the park was open. It was a seasonal park, so it was open pretty much March through Labor Day. And but he did school visits and did special event visits. And often, because we had a small staff, I was called upon to play Uncle Freddy. Now, keep in mind, those that knew me back then, I was 175 pounds. Uncle Freddy had room for me now, and I won't tell you where I am right now. That's a secret, because you can only see me from the waist up. So, but Uncle Freddy had some of the same attributes that I have right now, unfortunately. But he was a big old friendly bear, and for the birthday, and we were so happy to be representative of America, being called the Americana Amusement Park, and just a great memory in my life. And every once in a while, some of the amusement magazines will find that picture of me in the Uncle Freddy costume, and for some reason, they just love to post that on their online newsletters. I don't know why, Tim. I can't imagine why, but because you really didn't know, you didn't really know who was in the costume, you know. But over the years, I played many characters like Yogi Bear and let's see, who else did I play? I tried to play a Smurf, but you had to have a hips of 29 inches so you had to fit into the costume. But I played, there's just a number of Freddie Flintstone. I played Freddie Flintstone. That was a great character to play. I couldn't play Bugs Bunny because you had to be like 6 feet, and I'm 5'10", so to play Bugs Bunny. But that was a favorite character. And Captain Caveman, remember him, Timmy?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, I played Captain Caveman, too. He was quite a friendly character as well, and a favorite of the old Hanna-Barbera cartoons. Got a chance to get to know those folks that started Hanna-Barbera Land, because one of the parks that I worked for, called Hanna-Barbera Land, had nothing but Hanna-Barbera. And probably my biggest, When I was asked a question, and whenever I looked for a new job, or was so, tell us about your best promotion. And my best promotion was when Mr. Hanna called and said, "Can you put together Freddie Flintstone's 25th birthday? And I'll provide all of the characters for you, but you being the only Hanna-Barbera land in the world, a theme park, I want you to focus on him." And we did. It was a great opportunity. So, thanks for listening to our nostalgia hour here, Matt. <Yeah. laughs> But, you know, we have our guests coming up here in just a few moments. And, I have to tell you, being the CEO, interim CEO, if you will, she has plenty to do. And we're going to get a chance to at least talk to her for about 10 to 12 minutes here. Right after our 7:15 break, but we're gonna guess Amanda Loma Esva. What do you think, Matt? You think I'm close,
I
Amanda?
I think that's
Loma. I think it is Loma. Okay,
Loma Esva,
got that.
Yes. I think we're there.
And Esva.
She's on the phone. So
oh,
I will answer the phone, and you can take us out.
All right, let's do that. We'll be right back with Amanda, the interim CEO of Casino del Sol, and we're going to talk about the casino going to be open on Grand Road, and not too long from now. So we'll be right back. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI, the trusted local news and talk. Well, we're back, and this is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. I'm here every Thursday. And boy, do we have a very, very special guest. I had the opportunity to attend the topping of the beam signing. And our guest today was the person that kind of emceed the whole event. And she is the interim CEO of the Casino del Sol. And good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. And so it's really a pleasure to have you here. And Courtney did a good job keeping you informed as we were finding the right date to have you here. And I couldn't think of a better day to have it than when you're having the big fireworks display tonight.
Absolutely. We're very excited about the fireworks tonight. It's the 31st anniversary for the tribe's, gaming enterprises, and we always have a fireworks spectacular, and tonight is going to be extra special.
Absolutely. The rain cooperated and wet it down a little bit, so there's a minimal chance of any fires taking place. But you've been really busy since you became the interim CEO, haven't you?
I sure have. That is absolutely accurate. It's been really busy, but also really fun.
And, I could tell when you were on the stage that you were having a lot of fun. And for a lot of reasons, in my impression, was when you had the entire community leadership out there participating in a very ceremonial and having all of the nation's tribe, whether you call them the tribal council, is that the right word?
Yeah.
So the board of directors,
kind
of like the board of directors, sort of.
Absolutely.
And they were all there. And we've been to how many of these, ribbon cuttings and those kinds of things and the topping off of the beam and everything. But this one, where the entire community, not only the nation was there, but all of the political leaders here in town were there celebrating with you. And what was very unique to our listening audience was that every Pascua Yaqui Council member had a chance to get up to the phone and tell the world, in the sense, how proud they were of the nation and how wonderful this new facility is going to be. And then the passion just flowed out of everyone's mouth about the level of cooperation. And I have to tell you, a person that came from Ohio, I can't say that I've seen a community come together under one project. And so congratulations to you, Amanda, and to your entire team for putting all that together.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, we loved the event, and I always love getting to hear what the Tribal Council has to say. They have worked very hard over many years, to get to the point where we can open this new casino at Grant and I-10. I love hearing them talk about what it does for the tribe, because, as you know, Casino del Sol is an enterprise of the Pascua-Yaqui tribe, which means that the tribe owns the business, and so it's their business, and they are very proud of it, and rightfully so. I think it was exciting to get to hear a lot of them talk about what it does for the community, the Pascua-Yaqui tribal membership, and how it supports programs within the community, and of course this new casino will add to that. So they do a lot of things for their seniors, they do a lot of things for housing, elders, and it's education. All the casino monies go to all those programs, as they do in all the tribes in Arizona. So it's very exciting to be a part of that and to hear the effects that it's going to have for the tribe.
Yeah, I'm so glad you shared that, because I had the opportunity to be invited to the grand opening of the Casino del Sol, and there was a lot of preparation to make sure the grand opening was the celebration of the decade. Absolutely. I lost my car. I couldn't find my car. There were so many people there. I mean, and of course I was there for more than just an hour because I had to try out my luck. But that was such a wonderful celebration, and of course with all of the activities that took place before and during and after, and this new facility, and I was reading some of the research that that was sent to me about what happened in December 27th in 2022 when President Biden signed the Old Pascua Community Land Acquisition Act. So this was the home of the Pascua, the old Pascua mm-hmm. nation, and it came back.
Absolutely.
I was here, and 2022 was, right there at the tail end of the pandemic. But what a wonderful journey this has been for the community and for yourself. And I know we're only have you for because you're so busy right now. But when do you expect the casino to open?
It's scheduled to open in November of 2026, so a year and a few months. And it is going up fast. It's exciting. We had the beam topping off ceremony that you mentioned, and it's now even more done, and that was only a few weeks ago. So it's quite amazing to watch it going up, and I know a lot of Tucson sees it going up passing by on Interstate 10 every day. So I know I do on my way out to Casino del Sol. So it's really exciting. And you mentioned the Old Pascua Community Land Acquisition, and honestly, that could not mean more. Before my interim role as CEO, I've been an attorney for the tribes since 2005, and went over to casino gaming attorney in 2014. So, it's been a lot of work that the tribe has done on, to get that bill through Congress and to the president's desk. And so exciting anytime an Indian tribe gets some land back, and no exception here. Of course, the old Pascua community has been there for, hundreds of years, if not more. So it's just very exciting. So I know everybody who worked on that project is extremely proud.
Yeah, 172,000 square feet, and Courtney sent me the pictures, and it looks somewhat similar to the Casino del Sol, but obviously has its unique mm-hmm. features. But it's like you're in a town, an Italian town yes. of some sort or something like that. And you know, and yes. it'll have entertainment and food and beverage of the finest, and mm-hmm. obviously the employment. It seems like it's going to be really something that's going to have a lot of potential. I think you're projecting 900 to 1,000 jobs. Many of those go to, mm-hmm. to tribal members. And, you know, this yeah. gives a chance for promotion, too, from the folks that have been at Casino del Sol for many years. And all of a sudden now there's a new casino open. So hopefully there'll be some promotions from the folks that have been working for many, many years at their sister property. Mm-hmm. Now, we just have a moment or so. Is there going to be a special name for this particular casino when the time is right?
Absolutely. When the time is right, there will be an announcement about the special name.
So you have Casino of the Sun.
It's going to be a Casino del Sol property.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You have Casino of the Sun, yeah. Casino del Sol. You know mm-hmm. exactly what it is in the name, you know. So mm-hmm. That's just really super. Well, we want to thank you, Abanda. I'm going to give one try. Loma Yesva. Is that close?
That's correct.
Oh,
yes,
all right.
Correct.
I was so I'm so scared to pronounce people's wrong name because I don't want to offend anybody. But it's been such a pleasure to have you. Again, I know you're extremely busy. We're so excited about this new addition to our entertainment and our tourism facilities here. And we wish you the best luck. And anything we can do, the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance can do, anything Bustos Media can do, please let us know. And we'll be there to help you make sure that my car gets lost again when I get to come to the grand opening.
100%. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Take care, Amanda, and our best to you. Happy. Well, that was a great interview. Short but sweet from Amanda Loma Yesva, the interim CEO of the Casino del Sol and soon to be part of a brand new casino that was built on Century Park Theater, where that used to stand for many, many years. But lo and behold, this was old Pasqua community land many, many, many years ago. And it's kind of like a coming back ceremony when I was listening to the community and to the council members. You know, a lot of them have, you know, obviously stories that have been, you know, brought down from generation to generation. So it's going to be an amazing Tim, I don't know, but we're going to have to get you out there. And since you like to pull that lever, don't you?
I think I'm ready.
Hey, so this AI is really, I don't know if you've been playing around with it or they say if you don't really get yourself trained on the AI that you're going to be left behind. But really, just a couple quick facts here before we move on. The opening date, as we heard from Amanda, is expected to be the fall of 2026. And I have to tell you, it's going up really fast. As she mentioned, when you go down I-10 and let's say you're headed to Phoenix, just look to your right. You're going to see this monstrous steel next to a parking garage, because they will have parking for 1,200 cars. And they don't have the surface area, but they decided to go with the parking garage. And there'll be some surface area for parking, but 172,000 square feet total under one roof. That's amazing. The casino floor will be 73,000 square feet and 900 slot machines, 75 high-limit slots. I don't get to play those too much, Tim. 20 table games, a sports book, which that's very popular, the sports book, when they got that opportunity to open that up at Casino del Sol, and a poker room. There we go, Tim. That's where we're going to be hanging out when we're not working. So four venues to eat. I'm sure they'll have the famous buffet Casino del Sol buffet, where you have so much food you don't know what to do, and you have to be, they have to haul you out of there on a four-wheel dolly after you eat there. And of course there'll be some bars there, and and there's been some speculation about the 60,000 square feet shell structure that is reserved for growth. Now, I think if I had to guess what that is, and I have no inside information, folks, that's going to be where the hotel is, because Casino del Sol has done very well with its two hotels there, and I, you know, we've all been there for many, many events. We had, I think, S-AAA had one of the meetings, the annual meeting, I think it was, and they took good care of us. And you know, I've been there probably 7 or 8 times now. The chef is well known. He's out there, doing all the food shows and part of the Tucson City of Gastronomy and certification program, and represents the Pascayaki tribe wonderfully. He's just quite the character, big teddy bear kind of character, and the food is just, you know, super. And that's one thing about our resorts here, in all of the resorts, whether you name one of the resorts, I won't particularly pick one out other than our members, the Marriott and, you know, Hacienda del Sol. They spent a lot of time finding a great executive chef, and that translates into wonderful food. And of course, all of them have embraced using our local foods here that are grown here. Some of it's heritage food, you know, that's been around for 4,000 years. It's just a wonderful place to come visit, not only because of the resorts, but the folks that are running these. It's not uncommon to see the general manager at the front door greeting you as you come in, or at the pool serving you your favorite alcohol adult beverage. It's they're there. And then of course during COVID, they were doing the laundry and greeting people, checking people in. They were doing, you don't see that in a lot of the tourism communities, Tim, you know, and it wonderful people running the casinos. And of course, the El Conquistador, Hilton property, resort property, is owned locally here by HSL. And Bert Lopez is the owner, and he owns a lot of apartments and other hotels here in town. I think it's 7 hotels he owns now, and soon to be more. That particular property there in Oro Valley, run by Shelby, is just a wonderful location. It used to be a Sheraton, now it's a Hilton. HSL took it over, and you see Guy Alexander is the kind of like the he's more the Desert Hospitality is the management group, but that's owned by HSL as well. So it's definitely locally run, locally owned resort. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the fireworks, Tim. And I know it's going to spill a little bit over into the final break, but I think let's talk a little bit about your list that you have assembled for us on what other fireworks are going on. And let's start with just what's going on tonight.
Well, tonight is, as you mentioned earlier with Amanda, it's the 31st anniversary celebration of Casino del Sol. So at 8:15 at the ABBA Amphitheater, Casino del Sol, at 5655 West Valencia Road, they kick off their 31st anniversary celebration. So congratulations to them. And then tomorrow, the city of Tucson will be launching fireworks from A Mountain, Hopefully they don't set the mountain on fire, as you mentioned.
Never happened.
It's happened many a time. But their 28th annual 4th of July celebration, so parking lots at the TCC open up at 7 p.m., so you can go down there, park for free, watch the fireworks. And the West Side parking lot is where you want to go to. It's at 260 South Church, and that's going to be one of the bigger shows going on. And Reed Park Zoo has Red, White, and Zoo celebration. They're offering free admission for active military veterans, National Guard, and retired military members from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. tomorrow. So that's a nice bonus. And then Saharita, they're doing a unique show. They're actually combining a drone show with fireworks at the splash pad. Fireworks start at 9 p.m. and gates open at 5 p.m. So it should be a fun show. Don't know how they're going to combine those two, but
hey, let me go back, Tim, to one of our new members, FC Tucson, our favorite professional soccer team. They are playing tonight at Keno on the north side, of course, and they're calling it the Independence Day celebration. So, yeah. You know, and it's the game, you know, it's an interesting game, and it starts at 7 p.m. at say Keno North Stadium. And it's, and of course, immediately following, they call it the post match fireworks extravaganza. That will start immediately after the soccer game, and you know, and of course, all weekend long, the FC Tucson has something going on. On July 5th, they have the Women Fan Appreciation Night as well, and so lots of activity going on at FC Tucson.
Those games are so much fun. When I was with Visit Tucson, I would frequently go out and video the games. Just what the crowd's great, the entertainment, the excitement. It's just a fun way to spend an evening.
Yeah, there's plenty of parking. You know, both on both that north side and the south side. And but you want to go to the north side. The tickets, of course, are all available online. We'll be back in just a few moments, and there's a few other firework displays we want to mention, Tim. So I'm glad you all are listening and celebrating the 249th birthday of the United States. And you're listening to the Morning Voice on 10:30 a.m. And I'm just happy that you're with us and we're celebrating together. We'll be right back. Well, we're back and we're celebrating the 249th birthday of the United States. One day, Dr. Ackerley will have the luck of being on the microphone tomorrow when it's actually the 249th birthday.
It's an Independence Day spectacular.
Yes, and we decided to start early, Matt. You know,
that's okay.
You know, if you were here, you get be next to this wonderful new American flag. We got it's very patriotic, of course. Here at Bustos Media, and we've been talking to special guest Amanda Loma Yesva about the brand new Casino del Sol. Grant Road is kind of the working name, but it'll soon be, you know, have its own special name. And we've been talking about all the firework displays with co-host Tim. Tim, you know what? We forgot some very, very special firework displays that are happening at Keno Sports Complex. It's called Diamonds in the Sky, and it's tomorrow July 4th. And guess what? They're going to have a professional baseball game there starting at 6:30. Yeah. And if you don't know where Keno Sports Complex is or the Veterans Memorial Stadium, used to be called TEP many years ago, it's 2500 East Ajo Way in South Tucson. And here's what's really special. $1 or a non-perishable food donation will get you into not only the baseball game, but it'll also get you into the fireworks. Now, come early, because the fireworks celebration out there, it's always busy. So make sure you get there and enjoy the baseball game. The weather is a little bit cooler right now. 40% chance of rain, you were saying, Matt, but that doesn't mean it's going to rain there. You know, some people.
It's more of a coverage thing, right? I mean, it's probably going to rain somewhere, but, you know,
you don't know.
It's
you more just of a coverage don't, thing, right? You just don't know.
It might rain on your neighborhood, but, you know, Tucson, it could be one side of the street gets rain and the other doesn't.
Well, Mount Lemmon got a lot of rain last night. Of course, that makes sense. And we're going to be in studio, and at the 8 o'clock hour will be Emily Goff, the kind of the co-owner, managing partner of the Arizona Zipline Adventures, and we can't wait for Emily to tell us a little bit about how's it going out there. The fire missed them, thank goodness, and they're in full operation. Can't wait to hear about that. There's a couple more here, Timmy, if you don't mind me, or do you have some more that you would like to talk about?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
First of all, the Keno Sports Stadium. First pitch is at 6:30, as you mentioned. Get out there early.
All right.
And then fireworks start after the game. And growing up in Tucson, it was always fun to go to the Tucson Toros game.
Yes.
And the Beach Boys would play after the game on 4th of July.
Ah, those were the days.
Yeah. And then you haven't talked about the Oro Valley.
Yep, we got to talk about our friends from Oro Valley. They're a member of the SAAA, the community, and that one's going to be held where?
It's going to be at the Aquatic Center.
Okay, all righty. Yeah.
And $1 for children, $3 for adults, live music, food trucks, a beer garden, kids' crafts. They've got everything going on out there. That. And things kick off at 5 p.m. Fireworks start at 9. So go out and listen to some music and,
you know,
see the Aquatic Center.
There's the, you know, if you're involved in AI at all, just go to ChatGPT or any of the others and just put in fireworks at in Tucson, Arizona, and they give you a complete list. And there's also two websites that we always recommend to learn more about the events, Tim. And what are those websites?
Well, we want you to go to thisistucson.com and visittucson.org, and they have complete lists of all the places to see fireworks.
That's fantastic. And, you know, it looks like a little bit chance of rain tonight, tomorrow, a slight chance. So I think you're going to have a wonderful 4th of July holiday. We wish you all well. We're going to be back here in just at 8:03 with Emily Goff from the Arizona Zipline Ventures, which is located on the, what we commonly say, the other side of Mount Lemmon. Is that what we say, Matt?
The other side. Okay.
The other
like the
side.
The dark side of the moon or something.
All right. Well, this is the Morning Voice. And we'll be back here on KVOI 10:30 a.m., the trusted local news and talk radio station here in Tucson, Arizona.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Tim Vimmerstedt. You can follow along live on Facebook or YouTube. 1030 The Voice is the name of the page. Go there, hit that like and subscribe button, and you can see all of our videos and find out everything that's going on, like the new edition of Kim Komando coming on the 12th, Saturday the 12th. The Morning Voice will be right back.
Back. We're back, and I was chatting with our guest, Emily Goff, from the Arizona Zipline Adventures, and she and I go back, you know, a few years as friends, and then one day we showed up and said, hey, I'm wondering if you might be interested in belonging to the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and I, if I recall correctly, you knew who we were, but you didn't know who I was or some of the people involved, so we're so glad you're here, you know, and a chance, a whole hour to talk about who you are and all about the Arizona Zipline Adventures and what it took in order to get it going. But you had a scare not too long ago there, and that's kind of what prompted me to reach out to you. First of all, I reached out to say, how you doing? You know, I wasn't dramatic to say you still have a building standing, but obviously after the California fires, you know, the devastation of flash fires and, you know, obviously, as you know, becoming the GM of Old Tucson right after the fire, I only saw pictures. And I've only been involved in one fire, and it's really scary. I was in New York, and somebody threw a cigarette butt into a box full of stuffed animals. And I happened to be walking by the games area, and I was in charge of the games area. And the first, you know, inclination is to run towards the fire to put it out. Okay, and I'm not a first responder, but my first response was not to run away. So, Emily, I grabbed the fire extinguisher. Thank goodness our safety manager had him right there. And I started putting out the fire. We all had fire training. And I just about had it out. And right then, four guys came in right after me with other fire extinguishers.
Wow.
Unfortunately, what happened at Old Tucson was the first call fire truck almost had the fire out. And then they ran out of water.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the fires went. So we heard not too long ago that there was a fire on what we commonly call the other side of Mount Lemmon, and immediately thought of you. And so tell us a little bit about that, and then we're going to get into who Emily is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you again for reaching out during that fire. It was a bit of a scare for our small community. It actually came as the second fire. We had two fires in 2 days. So there was a fire the day prior that started really close to the town. And the Forest Service and the local firefighters had already been stationed in the area. And they put it out seemingly overnight. And right. So when this second fire started, we thought it was the first fire just rearing back up, but it was a whole new fire. And we were pretty calm about it because they had done such a great job the night before. It got far larger than we anticipated it to get, but luckily our building was still standing. It did come about 2 miles from north of the zip line, and it did touch our small community. Some houses were burned down. But our community is really amazing up in the town of Oracle, and there's been a lot of support for the folks that did experience that devastation. A lot of the forest land did burn right along the Arizona Trail, was kind of the southernmost boundary. As you're coming out to see us at the zip line, you do drive through a part of the burned area. So you get to see firsthand what these massive fires look like. And, you know, this was a small fire by most means compared to the Bighorn fire that we experienced 5 years ago. But it's not pretty to drive through. It's a little bit scary, but it's also a great reminder of how lush and diverse the desert is. So once you go through that burned area, you reach, you know, the normal desert where plants are blooming and thriving and, you know, trying to survive as we wait for the monsoon rains to hit us. We got a little sprinkle last night, but that's about it so far.
You know, the Weather Service said you got a lot of rain last night, but you only had a sprinkle out
there. It was not a lot of rain.
Maybe it was on top of the mountain.
Yeah, I think on top of the mountain they got a lot. You know, as with most monsoons, you never know exactly where it's going to hit. And since we are in a rain shadow where the zip line is located, we often get quite a bit of rain, but yesterday wasn't our day. The mountain stole it all.
Well, when you sent me the follow-up email and told me that everything was fine, and we had a big sigh of relief, of course, for you and for your employees and for the town of Oracle. I didn't realize that there was some structure damage. Mm-hmm. So the response seemed to be where it didn't become a big fire.
It didn't become near as large as it could have been. Yeah, it was, over 1,000 acres, which is a lot, but it was not, like I said, as big as the Bighorn Fire, 20,000 acres.
Well, we had a long-term member, Bob Love, who was over at the Saguaro National Park initially, and then he went over to Tuma Cockery. But his specialty was fire management.
Okay.
And even when he retired, he was always called into action. So it's very good chance that he was up there for your fire as well. And just it's amazing when you hear when there's a fire and how they attack it immediately. And again, old Tucson, they attacked it immediately. The response was 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But then they ran out of water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole story behind that. But when they rebuilt with new fire suppression systems. And so that was never really one. That was, still a concern. We still did the fire drills and they had the fire truck there and we were ready to go. But I think we had a bale of hay caught on fire inside a wagon.
Yeah,
I wasn't there. But you've probably seen it in the movies where they hitch up the horses and they haul the wagon away from the rest of the population. Well, that's what they did.
Yeah.
They got that wagon out of the town, but it's still scary. I mean, very scary.
Absolutely. Especially this time of year as we're waiting for rain and we had such a dry winter. Fire is a real danger all around us in southern Arizona right now.
Well, and, I think, was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago? You had so much rain that turned the entire mountain just beautifully green. And I was saying, you got the video cameras out there? We got to make sure we got new. And, of course, you had it all taken care of. So whenever we show an image of the Arizona Zipline Adventures, it's always the plush, And of course, it doesn't take long. A little bit of rain and the whole desert comes alive.
Absolutely.
But before we go on first break, let's take just a moment about who is Emily, okay? What prepared you for this new adventure in your life?
Absolutely. So we started Arizona Zipline Adventures almost 10 years ago now.
Wow.
And prior to that, I worked in outdoor environmental education.
Okay.
And in zipline tours and ropes courses and team building. So I very much had a love for this type of work prior to building this business with our partners that we built. My father is a rancher, and so at a very young age, my love for the land, that was instilled in me. And so whenever we got together with some friends with the idea to build this park, then we knew that we just wanted to be able to promote the enjoyment. And as you said, we're on the backside of the mountain that so many people don't know about. It's a really, really special area that we just wanted to be able to share with other folks and reimagine a part of my family's cattle ranch in a way that we could share that space with other folks.
Yeah, so your family has owned this land for a number of years. With a cattle ranch.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
So we are built on private land, but we are surrounded by the Forest Service on three sides. It was once a part of my family's cattle ranch has been around. My great-grandfather started the first cattle ranch, and my grandfather and my father and now my brother are those that have preceded him and doing the Wild West, if you will, kind of image. And they're continuing that legacy, which is really special.
Well, and I really appreciate it, Pinal County, and what they did.
Absolutely.
And so my first visit to you. We got off the main road to Oracle, and there was signage was coming along at that time. I remember talking about that, and you got into a dirt road, and it didn't seem like it was long after that that Pinal County, I think it was them, right, paved the road right to your entrance.
They did, yes. So they paved the back road. We weren't the only reason by any means, but
one of the reasons.
We were absolutely one of the reasons that area is really growing in terms of residential housing as well. And the county was just a huge supporter at the time that we were opening. Timothy Knavel was an incredible supporter of ours, and he really pushed to help us with our mission in bringing people out to the area and promoting that.
God rest his soul. Tim was an economic development guy for the state of Arizona, and then he ended up at Pinal County as economic development director and was starting to get involved in tourism. I saw him once a quarter for the economic development meetings, but we met, you know, at one time he was married, and all of the trials and tribulations of the illnesses that he had over the years, but he recovered every time.
He was a fighter.
And then that darn COVID got him. And that is just absolutely too bad. But he was a super passionate hero of Pinal County. So I'm glad you brought his name up, because I missed him.
Absolutely.
And I know Pinal County really misses him, because I could name 4 or 5 projects that wouldn't have been around, including yours, that if Tim wasn't involved. So,
absolutely.
Well, we'll be right back. This is The Morning Voice on 1030 AM, KVY, 1030 AM. And we're here with Emily Goff, and she's been talking about how the Arizona Adventure, we got to say the Zipline Adventures got started, and why it's called the Arizona, not the Oracle or the Southern Arizona or whatever. We're going to probably talk a little bit about that. Just all kinds of great stories about what's going on, and the food, the pizza. Oh, my goodness. We'll talk about that, too. We'll see in just a few moments. Well, that's one thing you don't do on the zip line. All kinds of things built in to make sure that doesn't happen. But we are back. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI, 1030 AM. As we have a big sign here, trusted local news and talk. It's all about locals. And we certainly have a local person here, Emily Goff. So, Emily, I think you probably told me this, but I don't remember. I know you're, in one sense, we would call you the managing partner, but you're the co-owner.
Yes, sir.
And you're the developer.
Yep.
You know, so you can probably pick a title to wherever, and when you introduce yourself to the world, how do you introduce yourself?
I just introduce myself as one of the co-owners of Arizona Zipline Adventures.
One of the co-owners, because it did take a team.
It did take a team, absolutely.
Put this together. And so you had this wonderful land. You mentioned your mission, and it was your family, Old Cattle Ranch. There is we'll talk a little bit about this in the third segment, because there's more than just the zip line out there in the Oracle area.
Absolutely.
So we want you to come to Oracle.
Yes.
And so real briefly, tell us where Oracle is.
So we are northeast of Tucson. We're, I think, 26 miles north of Tucson downtown proper. And we are located about 4,600 feet in elevation. So we're always 7 to 10 degrees cooler than Tucson, which doesn't seem like much, but it sure feels like a lot. Every time I come to Tucson, I am like, where am I? I think I'm dying. It's so hot.
There is a difference, right, Matt, between 90 degrees and 100 degrees.
There you go.
There is a difference, absolutely.
And, of course, when the humidity starts, it doesn't make any difference. But, Oracle, obviously, it is known for the Zipline Adventures. But before you guys start thinking about building on this wonderful land out there, what else? What was some of the other things that were going on in Oracle before that?
Yeah, so one of the biggest things near Oracle is Biosphere 2. That's massive. A huge draw for the world. I think it's one of the like top 10 world attractions.
It's one of the 8th wonders of the world.
Okay, yes. Thank you. Yes, that's what I'm looking for. I was trying to figure it out.
Just ask the marketing guy.
Yeah, exactly. He'll tell me. Yeah, so that is a very, very cool spot to come and see and visit and just to learn about the original experiment that it was built for, but also the continued education and experiments that are being done there now that it's run by the University of Arizona. It is still a fabulous place to visit, and I always recommend that to people.
And that's about when you hit Oral Valley, it's about 22 miles, I think it says, or am I remembering that sign correctly? Or
I would say it's
minutes.
A little bit less than that. Yeah, it's probably 22, about 22 minutes.
22
or so.
Minutes.
Yeah, 25
okay.
minutes.
I couldn't remember. It started with an M, I remember.
Yeah.
But when you're out there, it's lush.
Absolutely.
It's not Sonoran Desert.
No. So once you hit Oracle Junction, which is where Highway 79 and 77 come together, you start gaining elevation, and that is when there's really a drastic change in the landscape. So it where we're situated is really kind of a chaparral area. It's where the Sonoran Desert is kind of meeting the oak trees and meeting the climbing hillside of the Catalina Mountains, which we now have pine trees at the top of it. So we're in a really unique zone, and we have the best of both worlds, I think, because we have the big, massive shade trees of the oaks and the hackberry trees, and then we also get the cholla and prickly pear and all the different types of cactus, with the exception of the saguaro. But it is a really beautiful area.
Well, and they've taken good care of Highway 70, which, by the way, not too long ago, these new historic Highway 80 signs started to appear on 77.
Yeah.
And we have a group in the SAAA called the Historic Highway Foundation. And I told them, we're going to have to include Tucson now because we have signs up that say that we have historic Highway 80. And they went, maybe.
Maybe we'll think about it.
We don't really call it. We call it Oracle Road, and we call it 77. It's a state highway, but I didn't know that it was part of historic highway, but now it is. So we might as well embrace that. But when you hit, I remember the last time I went. There's also a turnoff to go to the Renaissance Festival too.
So that's Highway 79.
Right. So you go left, right?
So you take Highway 79 to get to the Renaissance Festival. You use 79 all the way through the town of Florence to Apache Junction, and that's where you hit the Renaissance Festival.
That's not the way you want to go.
You're going to go right. Yes, you're going to follow Oracle Road north. It turns into Highway 77, and you just stay on that towards the right, heading back east towards the Galero Mountains, San Pedro River Valley, and that's where you will hit the town of Oracle.
So you have this beautiful land, best places to be between the Sonoran Desert and what you see when you're going up the other side of Mount Lemmon, the Catalina Highway, right, I think. And you see different zones of vegetation.
Yep.
But so you have this wonderful land. There's nothing there other than raw land and the beauty of the raw land. And what made you think you wanted to build a zip line of all things?
Well, there just so happened to be a guy who built zip lines all over the world who lived in our town. He was a part of the conversation. And since I had background in the industry, it was something that just really fell into place. The land that we're built upon actually did have an old stamping mill on it from the mining days in the heyday, back when it was called the the Southern Bell Mine is out there. There's a lot of old mines. Hijinks, Buffalo Bill's, Cody's Hijinks is out there, his old ranch property as well. So there was a little bit out there, but the land that we built upon really lent itself to the zip line. It has a couple of really great valleys, and that is where the idea for the zip line and not just a ropes course came to life.
Yeah, and that gentleman was well known. I think I met him. What was his name again?
Michael Reddish.
Yes, I met him at IAPA. Mm-hmm. I think probably right before your start your building.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was showing his harness and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, because that's a very important part of being on the zip line adventure. And there's. When we come back, you're going to learn that there's more than one zip line. As you mentioned, you took advantage of the valleys. You didn't have to build a big tower like that one at the zoo that I went to and overlooking the lions. You know, that was an interesting.
Yeah. No lions.
And we'll tell that story maybe if we have time. Well, this is KVOI.com is where you can hear the audio. You also can see us live. Emily and I are live in video on YouTube and Facebook for 10:30 a.m. We'll be right back. This is The Morning Voice.
Tom is putting on the zipline harness. We're getting him ready to go on a ride down the hallway here at Bustos Media. Here you go, Tom.
You know, and Matt, that is part of the experience. You go, you get greeted by the lovely Emily and her staff, and they kind of take you to this kind of prep area where all this hardware is, and then they explain to you the rules, and then they help you get the harnesses on, and you know they tug it here and tug it there to make sure it's in the right place, and then you're off to the first zip line. As before we went on break, we were talking about. Folks, this is not just one zip line, okay? And one of those zip lines is known as the fastest.
Yes.
Not necessarily the tallest, right? But the fastest, or is it the tallest and the fastest?
The fastest, the tallest, yeah.
I think fastest is better than tallest, don't you think?
I would agree with that.
Yeah, it's the speed junkies that love it. Well, and people are scared of heights. It's like, oh my God, it doesn't make any difference if it's the slowest or the fastest, it's still a thrill.
Absolutely.
Thrill a minute. And so then you go on, and I'm going to let Emily pick it up from there. But again, where we left off was there's this world-renowned zipline developer, and I met him at IAPA, which is the big amusement and theme park convention in Orlando. And he was showing and telling us about, you know, and showing the new ways to be harnessed in, the pulleys, how the system, the brake systems, and there was four other zipline people there. And then, lo and behold, he lives in Oracle, okay? And then, how did he find you, or did you find him?
So he found another friend.
Oh, a friend of a friend is always good.
A friend
good.
Of a friend, yeah. So there were many friends involved. So he found another friend who had building experience and was very creative, Brandon Luthy, and they are the two that then found my father and myself. Yeah, so there were many of us to start.
Did they know you were just trying to figure out what to do with this land for the public?
Yeah, so it wasn't necessarily we were trying to figure out what to do with the land.
Okay.
It was more just a, hey, wouldn't it be really great if we did something in the region, in the town of Oracle? So it was really a scouting out of, let's throw some ideas around. What can we do? And then we visited that section of our family's cattle ranch. We're like, well, this is the perfect spot. Emily has the experience. Let's do this thing, kind of a thing.
A land resource experience.
Yes.
You're going through. You're on your way to Oracle.
Yep.
And you, if I recall correctly, you hit the sign that says Oracle, and then there's a road to the right.
Yeah. So you come into the town of Oracle. We have one main street through the town of Oracle. You take a right onto Mount Lemon Highway, and that I know. Really great.
I wonder where that's located.
I know, and I wonder where it leads to. Also, so many people come out and they ask us, does this really go up to the top of the mountain? It does. So it's a really special area. You take a right on Mount Lemon Road, Mount Lemon Highway. You drive up and you I think you maybe are on that for 6 miles, and you get out to our property. As you mentioned before, it's paved out to our driveway and it turns to dirt thereafter, but you can continue on that road all the way up the backside of the mountain. And it's a fantastic drive for anybody who has an off-road vehicle.
But when you're driving on this Brandly, oh, it's how many years now? 5 years?
About five.
5 years. Yeah. You look to your right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this wonderful building, not your typical, you know, plywood building. And it's elevated, okay?
It is.
And there's a garden below. I think, if I recall correctly, you're growing some of the food there that you, or you did.
Yeah, so okay, it yeah. goes, this summer we are giving our garden a breather. We're trying okay. to let the soil kind of recoup and recalibrate itself. But we generally try to grow a number of the peppers and the produce that we can use in our kitchen, because supporting local food systems, supporting local economies is something that is very, very important to us. So we do our best to be as sustainable as we possibly can.
Now, did you ever look at the way to be certified as a Tucson City of Gastronomy restaurant?
We have not. No, just
take a look at it.
I think
though.
Especially because we're so new. I think that
it doesn't have anything to do with new. Okay. It has. There's four or five criteria. I should remember this.
Okay,
I was on the certification committee, but one of it is community.
Mm-hmm.
One of it is sustainability.
Yep.
One of it is the use of native foods. You know, and there's two others, and you have to like qualify for three of them.
Yeah.
So it's online.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely look into it.
TucsonCityofGastronomy.org.
Yeah.
And should take a look at it, because there's we promote all of the restaurants.
Yeah.
On our website, and our first criteria was they had to be a certified Tucson City of Gastronomy. Restaurant, because it said, one, it was local,
yeah.
and two, it said all the things that I just mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, so I would, and it's an ongoing thing. You don't have to wait for a period.
Yeah.
It used to be where there was a renewal annual kind, but it's ongoing. So I would,
I would absolutely
take a look at, because I know at least you would qualify for at least three of those.
Yeah, it sounds like we would.
And that best darn burger, okay, is a really darn good burger.
It's a really darn good burger. It's true.
If I could jump in with a couple of questions, how many different runs do you have?
Yeah.
And how long should people plan for a visit there? How much time should you set aside for a visit there?
Absolutely. So our Zipline Eco Tour includes a ride on five different zip lines. So as Tom mentioned, we get you started, we get you in gear. From the gearing up process to the very end, when you're getting out of gear, you can plan for 2 hours. We do ask that people arrive 30 minutes prior to that as well, just so that they have plenty of time to hit all of the stoplights in Oro Valley.
Sure.
And still make it on time for that tour. We send up to 8 guests out with 2 guides, and going through the first 4 zip lines, you're going one at a time. We do ease you into the zipline experience. So our ziplines start out nice and mellow, and they pick up with speed after that. Tom mentioned that we have one of the fastest ziplines, and we don't just throw you into that off of the get-go. That's something that we really work our way up to. And our final zipline is a dual span, so you ride down next to somebody, and that is the one that you get going quite fast on. And so that experience takes 2 hours. So generally at least 3 hours, maybe 4, you know, even more if you're planning to eat. We do have a small kitchen on property, as we were just discussing, pepper sauce kitchen. It is absolutely delicious. And we have free gold panning as kind of an ode to, as I mentioned, the old stamping mill and the old mines in the area, as well as Jenga and cornhole. So there's really something for everyone to do, even if you're not coming out to zipline, or you're coming out and your friends are ziplining, you can still hang out and relax. We have a great patio while they're out on the course.
So you can do walk-in. Do you have to have reservations? Are they optional? Are they required? Are they recommended?
Yeah, so we definitely recommend reservations, as we do send our tours out at designated times. So we can occasionally take walk-ins, but we highly recommend reservations if you for sure want to go ziplining that day. If you're just coming out to take a look, you're more than welcome to. And on Saturdays, we actually opened up another activity, our giant swing, which is available for those walk-ins, especially on a day when we're full and you want to come out and you still want to do something that's adrenaline pumping. Typically open on Saturdays. We do have a small team, so that does fluctuate here and there, but we're doing our best to keep that going, and it's a lot of fun.
So Tom and I are looking at this awesome video at ziparizona.com at your website. That is quite a fall, isn't it, Thomas?
Yes, it is. And I have to say, there was a gentleman with our group that one time, and it was a gentleman that we called Parade Bob, who's with the Tucson Rodeo, and he probably at that time was well into his 70s.
Yes.
And you may recall, and everybody else was young.
Yep.
And he enjoyed it, actually.
Yeah, he loved it.
He was quite the, it's all ages. I know you do have a limit on that first, the small child.
So we just have a weight limit. So our weight limit is 50 to 250 pounds. We have had kids as young as 4 years old and folks as old as 96 on our zip line. So we do our very best to accommodate all ages. There is hiking in between the different zip lines. So that is something that we really try to stress to people to be aware of. We are not walking on a concrete path as you are through the Sonoran Desert Museum. We are walking on uneven, rocky terrain in the desert, which is something that I love about our tour because it allows you to put your feet back on the ground and get to experience the actual beauty of the nature around you. We have a ton of ocotillo and agaves blooming right now. So it's a really special way to see the desert. But it is important to stress that, you know, as we are all ages, you still have to have that physical capability of hiking at least a quarter of a mile.
Right. Well, I'm glad you put the five zip lines in because that makes a lot of sense because you're a little bit frayed on that first one and then you gain your confidence.
Absolutely.
By the time you get to that fifth one, and you're seeing a really beautiful part of the desert. You're actually, debunking the old saying that, yeah, you got to have a four-wheel drive vehicle to get to the other side of the mountain, because now there's a brand new paved road from courtesy of Pinal County. Well, we got one segment left, okay. Emily, and you're doing really wonderful. And Matt, thank you, Matt, for getting some of those details in, because Matt hasn't been out there yet. So he's the right person to ask those questions.
The video, by the way, folks, I may try to get this up on one of the shots when we come back, but the video, it also shows the food. That burger looks awesome. So you guys weren't kidding
around.
That's
darn burger. You don't have to go to the zip line to enjoy a great restaurant meal. So we'll be right back. This is KVOI 10:30 a.m., the trusted local news and talk of Tucson. We are back and with Emily Goff from the Arizona Zipline Adventures. And, you know, there's so much that's going on out in Oracle. You know, you're on a wonderful road, 77. It's not that, it just feels like you're gliding there because there's not a lot of lights.
No lights after the town of Catalina.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
And it's green, and it's very green. And so tell us a little bit more about, because there's this great video that Matt mentioned and that's on your website. And what are some of the other places within your website or wherever that they can find out more about you?
Absolutely. So the first thing is just our homepage has a ton of information regarding when we're open. We are open Thursday through Sunday, so we are a weekend warrior business. 4th of July, we are still open. We're going to be serving up burgers, and I think we're full on our zip lines tomorrow, but there might be a few spots left. We also have a great little gift shop. Our kitchen that they mentioned earlier, Pepper Sauce Kitchen, has just fantastic food. Everything that we make, we do our best to make as much as we can in-house. So we're hand pattying those burgers, and we have a very simple and delicious menu. We have burgers, chicken strips, and then a rotating special. So we do a monthly special. Great to follow us on our social media at Zip Arizona, and that's on both Facebook and Instagram. We also have a sign up for our newsletter on the website, which is where we announce all of the fun things, like what is that next monthly special coming up? Do we have any deals going on? And one of our most popular things is our Grill Your Own Steak Night. So it is an event that we do every other month. We take reservations. We cap it around 120 people. You order your cut of meat. We do ribeye steaks and chicken, and then a vegetarian option as well. You order your cut of meat. We hand it to you raw whenever you get there. You season it, throw it on the grill, cook it yourself, and then we have a buffet of sides with dessert and live music. And it is a ton of fun. It's a great community event that, like I mentioned, we do every other month. Reservations open up typically about 1 month in advance, but you have to follow our newsletter. We announce it on that first. And then on our social media thereafter, we sell out typically within a couple of days. So if you haven't already signed up for our newsletter, visit our website and definitely do that or follow us on socials to be able to come out for that. Tom, I don't think you've been to one of those, have you?
No, I keep promising you.
You do.
And I need
it's been
to
a number
come.
Of years.
There's no, absolutely no excuse now.
Yeah.
So we got a minute or so.
Okay.
What's in the future? Are you thinking of some other adventure out there?
I'm not. No.
No, you're not. You're happy with what you have.
We are really happy with what we have. You know, I really believe in doing what you do well. And I think that we do our zipline eco tour really well. We have a ton of fun with our steak night. We do sunset ziplines, not during the monsoon season. We just did our last one for the season. And we do our burgers really well. We have a ton of fun doing the way that we're doing it right now.
Yeah, I like the sunset. Now, could you do the opposite? Not that
sunrise.
I want you to get up at 5:30.
You know, when we first opened, we ran really early morning tours and they just never booked. So we don't do that. But during the summer season, our first tour starts at 8 a.m.
Okay.
And I think I mentioned already we're open Thursday through Sunday. So that first tour is at 8 a.m. So the early birds still need to get out there at 7:30. So that's typically leaving around 6:30. So probably as early as you would want to wake up.
Now, when we get out of summer, your hours and days of operation
The
grow.
Days stay the same, so it's still Thursday through
still
Sunday.
Still Thursday through Sunday, okay.
But we push our tours about an hour later, so the first tour is at 9 a.m., so people can sleep in a little more. You know, we do what we can with the sunshine, and we kind of live the way that the earth wants us to, yeah.
So when you get there, what time for the sunset tour would you want to get there?
It depends on the time of year. So
okay, well,
this
one
was a 5:45 p.m. tour. So it was basically 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock tour almost at
so
night.
So maybe another quick way to look at it is if you go and you look at when the sunset is,
mm-hmm.
how many an hour before that or an hour and a half before that?
Yeah, so we plan it. So we have the tour designated depending on the sunset for that month and that time of year. So we do it once a month in the spring and fall season.
So it'll be on your website.
Absolutely.
It'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Emily, for being here. I knew you were going to have a good time here and talking about what you're passionate about.
Yeah.
And I like that answer that we just want to do the very best we can. We're not always looking for the new thing going on. And appreciate you're here. And Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow to talk about the wonder.
Happy Independence Day, Tom and Tim and Emily. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Matt. Take care, everybody. See you next Thursday.